next week. We're going to give for Convoy of Hope, also Mother's Day, so got a big weekend next week. And so, what was yesterday? Think about yesterday. What big event happened yesterday? The Derby. I said it. Oh, yeah, down here. Love it. The Kentucky Derby. Yes. Now, that was run yesterday. The horse who won was named Always Dreaming. And Always Dreaming was a very high-spirited horse. They didn't know if Always Dreaming was going to run very well because all week long he was very anxious. I'm not around a lot of horses. I don't really know what that's like. I just know they're big animals, and when I'm around them, they're a lot bigger than me, unless it's a Shetland pony, and then they bite you anyway. But other than that, so Always Dreaming. And he ran and ran yesterday, so I guess all of the anxiousness turned out to be okay, and he funneled it right into racing. Now, Teresa and I, we love the Kentucky Derby. We watch it every year, and we watch it each spring, and if I'm busy on that Saturday, if both of us are busy, we have commitments, then I'm always make sure to record it, and as I did yesterday, and so we watched it yesterday afternoon and had a great time watching it. There's several reasons why we like the Kentucky Derby. No, it's not because of the gambling, but other than that, there's a lot of great things about it. I mean, they do these stories that are like, you know how the Olympics does that, where they give you the background of these athletes, and then when they do their event, you kind of are rooting for them even more because of something they've gone through or they've overcome. Well, they do the same thing with these horses and with their owners, trainers, that kind of a thing. So you get a background on it. One horse was blind in one eye, so everybody was betting on this horse because they felt sorry for it. He wasn't very good and did not do well. But you know, the horses are beautiful. I actually love horses. I think I've only ridden horses a couple of times, and a good friend of ours years ago took Teresa and I on this. We'd never ridden horses, and we ended up going up to Mount Washington or Jefferson. Now it's all Jefferson. Yeah. So it was really dangerous. So it's like I'd never ridden, and I'm here riding up over this glacier. One time, this guy that's riding ahead of me just disappears into the snow, his whole body, his whole horse, right in front of me. And, I mean, that's just, if I had more time, you wouldn't believe the story that I could tell about that trip. But we survived, and it was great. It was great. I rode Star that day. That was the name of the horse. I remember very well. But I love the horses. They're beautiful. And, you know, of course, there's the hats, the clothes. Teresa loves watching all that stuff. So we get into the Kentucky Derby. It's fun. And a few years ago, we were watching the Derby, Teresa and I had recorded it to skip the commercials, as I usually do. And so we always pick the horse that we feel like is going to win, obviously. So after you watch all the stories and everything, and you kind of get your heart tugging towards a certain horse, then you pick a horse. Well, I picked the favorite that day, who was Bodemeister. And so right before start time, Teresa, she always waits till the last minute, and she did yesterday too, and was wrong. But I wasn't right either. But I'll say that right up before we start, she says, "I'm going to pick I'll Have Another." And I said, "I'll Have Another? I'll Have Another is a 15-to-1 long shot." I said, "That's not that bad. It's not impossible. But he's in the 19th gate. And if you're in number 19, there's never been a horse that's ever won the Derby from 19, which is way to the outside. So you have to run a little farther. You got to kind of try to make your way back into the horses. It's just hard. And a lot can happen. You get jostled around." I said, "Pick another horse." She goes, "No, I'm going to stick with I'll Have Another." I go, "Okay, fine. Stick with that horse." So the race is happening. My horse is doing well. Bodemeister is right in there. It's got a clean trip. We're coming around to the home stretch. Bodemeister takes the lead. And as I always do, I jump in front of the TV and I'm yelling, come on. And so we're all excited. Come on, come on. Well, all of a sudden, the track announcer, he says, Bodemeister's in the lead, but here comes, I'll have another. And so, I mean, out of nowhere comes this horse just racing. And he just keeps going, I'll have another. I'll have another wins by a length and a half. Yes, it was unbelievable. And I was so amazed that she had picked this horse after all I had said. I was as excited as she was. We were jumping up and down. She's dancing. We are high-fiving. We are just going crazy. I'll have another. I can't believe it. So, you know, it was an amazing thing. So we're watching the post-race interviews and the roses and everything. And so we're watching that. And every once in a while, for about the next half hour, I'm just like, I just can't believe you picked that horse. That's amazing. I can't believe it. Even after I told you not to pick it, you still picked it. You were right. She's just laughing. Yeah, can you believe it? Can you believe it? So about a half hour goes by, and all of a sudden, Teresa says, I knew that horse won before the race because I had recorded it, and she saw it on her phone. So she gave an Academy Award performance. Played it up all the way. It was probably a good hour before I knew that she had made it up. I mean, that she knew ahead of time. So, yes, it takes a high-spirited horse to win the Kentucky Derby. And today, I want to talk about the spirit, not a horse, but I want to talk about you. And I want to talk about your spirit and my spirit. And this is called a right spirit. Would you stop and just pray with me for a moment? Lord, we just love you today. And Lord, I want to pray that in this time that we have together, that your Holy Spirit would come and minister to our spirits as we turn our hearts over to you and bring your word alive to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. Okay. So I want to talk to you today about your spirit, and we refer to the word spirit quite a lot around the church. You know, you've got people who have a wounded spirit, or my spirit soared, or he has a prideful spirit. There's a lot of different ways that we would use the word spirit. And it's a difficult question to answer as far as what is the spirit, because it's somewhat of a mystery. Yet when I describe it to you, I think you'll have a pretty good idea what I'm talking about. So here's a definition. The spirit is the element in humanity which gives us the ability to have an intimate relationship with God. Whenever the word spirit is used in the Bible in regards to man, it refers to the immaterial part of humanity. So immaterial means so you can't touch it, you can't see it, you can't feel it. It's invisible. It's the immaterial part of humanity, of us, that connects with God, who himself is spirit. And we know that from John 4:24 says, God is spirit. And I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Bible, so you'll have a few more words, a little bit more descriptive today. God is spirit, the source of life, yet invisible to mankind. And those who worship him must worship in, everybody say spirit, spirit. They must worship him in spirit and truth, okay? So today I want to teach you how to have a strong spirit and how to stay away from having a wounded spirit. Psalm 51:10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right and steadfast spirit within me. A right and steadfast spirit. Proverbs 25:28. Like a city that is broken down and without walls, leaving it unprotected, is a man who has no self-control over his spirit and sets himself up for trouble. So do you realize from this scripture that your spirit is your responsibility? You, your responsibility. So the Bible likens a person who doesn't have control over their own spirit as being like a city without walls that have tumbled down. And that makes the city defenseless, so it's vulnerable to any attack. And in the same way, if we don't take care of or rule our own spirit, we are like a city with cracks in our foundation and breaches in our fortifications, open to every kind of attack imaginable. So, you know, we find out from Scripture that it's really important that we have a strong spirit. So what are the kinds of things that weaken us and leave us open and vulnerable to an assault? Things like poor choices that we make, lack of wisdom, emotional instability, pride, bitterness is big, and unforgiveness. And any of these things can, over time, can give us a wounded spirit. And the reason you must take responsibility for your spirit is that your spirit, now think about this, it makes a way for you in life. So if your spirit is strong and right, that makes a way for you in your life. But if your spirit is wounded, that also makes a way for you that isn't so good. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." So oftentimes heart and spirit are interchangeable in the Bible. So your spirit or your heart is the key to your future, and above all else, Proverbs 4:23 says, we should guard it with all diligence. Guarding our spirit, we should guard it. And the book of Daniel in the Old Testament describes a young man, Daniel, who had been one of the Israelites deported to Babylon under King Nebuchadnezzar. If you don't know who Daniel is, maybe you heard about Daniel in the lion's den when you were a kid or something like that. You're familiar with that story. I can remember when I was a kid hearing Bible stories. So that's the Daniel we're talking about. And Daniel 6:3 says that Daniel had an excellent spirit. Says that it was this quality that changed the way King Nebuchadnezzar looked upon Daniel, and he was favored and promoted as a result. So because of the kind of spirit Daniel had, he was promoted. The book of Daniel, chapter 6, verse 3, again, the Amplified Version. Then this Daniel, because of the extraordinary spirit within him, began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and the satraps, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire realm. Over the entire realm, because of the kind of spirit this guy had. And in the same way as Daniel's excellent spirit caused the king to look at him differently, if you look after your own spirit, you can rise above any difficult circumstances that you face and find favor with others. However, if you allow other things to take hold of your spirit, they're going to stop you from entering into all that God has planned for your life. And I want to give you some advice, both from my own experience and from the Word of God, is to never develop a wounded spirit. Ephesians 4, chapter 31 and 32, talks about bitterness. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, again, Amplified Version, so we get a few more words in here. Perpetual animosity, resentment, strife, fault-finding, and slander be put away from you, along with every kind of malice, all spitefulness, verbal abuse, malevolence. Be kind and helpful to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, forgiving one another readily and freely, just as God in Christ also forgave you. And then one more, Hebrews 12:15. See to it that no one falls short of God's grace, that no root of resentment springs up and causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. A root of resentment. The Bible says that if a root of resentment springs up, it causes trouble, and it's not just you, but many are defiled. So it doesn't just affect you, it affects others. So how do we keep ourselves from developing a wounded spirit? All right, this is number one. You're going to hear this pretty much every week. You're at this church, and you're going to hear it again today. Read the Word of God. Everybody say that with me. Read the Word of God. And you need to get that in your spirit. So it's not just the checklist. It's reading the Word of God. Because when the Spirit of God in you reveals the truth of the Word, that's the Holy Spirit of God. He reveals the truth of the Word and connects with your spirit. It comes out in how you live and in what you speak. So he reveals the Word to you, and then in how you live, how you talk, the things you do. That's how a right spirit makes a way for your life. Okay? You're going to make good decisions. You're going to not get yourself into trouble. Okay? I was telling somebody the other day, I said, they used to get themselves in a lot of trouble. They used to hang out with the wrong people. And they made a choice. This gal married a great guy, and now they're doing fantastic. And I said, isn't it so much better making good choices? Isn't it so much better? I go, now you're not in trouble anymore. And she said, yeah, it's true. I'm not in trouble. I said, yeah, that's because you're making good choices and reading the Word of God and getting it in your spirit. Okay, number two is to speak faith and love. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, be an example to the believers in word. So it's in what you say. Be an example to other believers, that's other people in this room, other believers that you know, other Christ followers, and also non-believers. It's in what you say. That's huge. Be an example in what you say. Not being negative, but being positive. Okay? Here's an example of how we're to speak from the Apostle Paul. I found this the other day, and I thought, wow, this is a great example of just kind of how the way that we're supposed to talk. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, but thanks be to God. That's a good start. Thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ. I love that. That's faith. Who always leads us in triumph in Christ. And manifest through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. That's saying that wherever we go, the aroma of Christ is what is smelled, for lack of a better word. But that's what happens. And he's speaking that wherever he goes, the aroma of Christ is there. And it's an awesome thing. And he verbally thanks God, who always leads in triumph, speaking faith and love. Number three, have the mentality of the Word. Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. So let's everybody say that with me. Changing the way you think. It's huge. Huge in your life. Change the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. If you let God transform you, you're going to learn his will for your life. Positive, faith-filled. Number four, and this is probably the most difficult, is forgive easily. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 9. Do not be eager in your heart to be angry, for anger dwells in the heart of fools. And being angry is what happens so often when we don't forgive people, is we get angry. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a fool. And when anger and bitterness reside within us, we make ourselves out to be the fool. We're the fool. Not the person that upset us. We're the fool. Okay? And though we may have been wronged, which happens sometimes, the Bible really leaves us with no excuse. And you know, most things in life, most, really aren't that big a deal. And we need to practice forgiving easily. We got to control our spirits so that they won't be wounded. You know, so much of what happens, things people say about you, maybe something somebody did to somebody else, maybe you're one of those kind of people. I can kind of be that way where you defend someone else, get upset, and things people do. I mean, I'm going to say just about everything in this life almost is no big deal, really. And tomorrow it's not going to be a big deal at all. Nobody's even going to remember it. So what we need to do is forgive easily, make a habit of it. Because I need to tell you that you're the one that has to forgive. You're the one that has to do it. You know, God will forgive you when you come to Him with a pure heart. But as far as forgiving other people, that's on you. That's on you to forgive. And God will walk you through it, and I'm going to talk about that in just a couple minutes. But that's on you to forgive, and you need to make a habit of forgiving easily. Because if you don't, then you're going to develop a wounded spirit. And that's no good. You don't want that. That's going to be trouble for you and heartache. Now listen, here's a few quotes from some notable people about unforgiveness and bitterness. This is from Joyce Myers. I know personally how damaging bitterness can be. I like to say it's like taking poison and hoping your enemy will die. Now, that's kind of harsh, but it's so true. You're the one that gets hurt. When you're the one that holds on to it, it's like you took the poison. And you're just setting yourself up for heartache. Okay, Lee Strobel says, bitterness sentences you to relive the hurt over and over. Now, Nelson Mandela was a controversial figure. I did a little studying up on Nelson Mandela. Yeah, he did some things that would be considered controversial for sure. But he paid for it. He was in prison for 27 years. 27 years. And when he left prison after all this time, here's what he said. As I walked out the door toward the gate that would lead to my freedom, I knew if I didn't leave my bitterness and hatred behind, I'd still be in prison. Now that's the right attitude. That would be a hard attitude after 27 years, especially if you felt that you were in there for the wrong reasons. But that's what he said. And he made a huge difference in the world. Now, it's my prayer that you understand the immense value of your spirit and that you take up the responsibility to guard it faithfully every day. And you don't let bitterness, unforgiveness poison your life. That's no good. Responsibility for a pure, clean heart and a right spirit is an imperative to walking in a fruitful relationship with Christ. So let's review how we keep a strong spirit. Number one, read the Word of God and get it in your spirit. Number two, speak faith and love. Number three, have the mentality of the Word. And number four, forgive easily. And I guarantee you, if you do those four things, you're going to have a right spirit. And you're going to be able to make good choices that aren't jaded by emotionalism, by hurt. Because another thing that happens is you get a filter. And when you get a filter, one of the most dangerous things to happen to a person can happen to you. And then you get deceived. And deception is so bad because when you're deceived, you don't know it. You don't know you're deceived. That's what being deceived means. You don't know it. So that means somebody says one thing to you, you get this filter, it comes through this filter, and 1 + 1 = 5. And you're getting the wrong information. Okay? So that's, we don't want that. We don't want to get this filter. We want a right spirit. And now the onus is on us in order to do that. So, You might be here today and you're saying, Pastor Roger, I think I may already have a wounded spirit. There may be some of you out there that's your situation. And you might say, I think I may have unforgiveness and bitterness going on right now. And I'm going to say, before I go any further, that you and me and everybody else in this room, at some time in our life, have been hurt by something someone has done or said. And maybe you're a person that's handled it really well over the years, maybe you're not. Or maybe it was something really bad that you still are working through. So here are a few symptoms of a wounded spirit. You develop a habitual response of unforgiveness. So instead of forgiving easily, you naturally don't forgive, and so you hold on to it. And if you don't do that, have you known people that did do that? And what became of those people? Sometimes they get real uptight, and then they get very sick. You mistrust people. You are suspicious of people and tend to be cynical about their actions and motives. And trust is a whole other issue that we'd have to talk about another day. So you have a fear of being hurt, and you put up walls to protect your feelings. You struggle with feelings of insecurity. You have a difficult time connecting to people. Maybe that's part of your problem. You tend to assume the worst about people. That might be cause to make you wonder if you have a wounded spirit. You often view yourself as a victim. You struggle with anxiety and depression. And maybe you turn to alcohol, drugs, food, sex. It can be all kinds of different things, and you're trying to cover it all up and trying to just make it through life. And you keep trying to cover this thing up. You don't even realize what you're doing or why you're doing it. And maybe you have a difficult time connecting with God. Maybe you got a wounded spirit and you can't connect with God because you've got this hurt. So maybe you can recognize some type of struggle that's going on in your life. And you believe it may be connected to some hurt that you've never completely forgiven. And or you hold bitterness toward that person or person. So here's the good news. There's a way out. And God will help you with it. I'm going to go back to Ephesians 4:32. It says, be kind and helpful to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, forgiving one another readily and freely, just as God in Christ also forgave you. And I don't have time this morning to tell you about all the things that Christ has done for you when you were in your sinful state. And even today, I know none of you are perfect, and so each one of us can appreciate what God has done, what Jesus Christ has done on the cross for us, and just as he forgave you for all the stupid things you do or say or think, we need to in turn do that. We need, because of all he has done. Now, you might be saying, Pastor Roger, you don't know what I've been through, and I don't. I haven't experienced it. I have not walked in your shoes. But I do know this, is that if you don't forgive, that you are the one who will be hurt, not them. And yes, God forgives you when we come to him with a right heart, but forgiving someone else is on us. Now, I do want to say, from my own experience, when I think about this, I think in particular of two people who I would say hurt my spirit. For an extended period of time. And I'm going to say that after I became a Christian, one was after I was a Christian, I did come to a place where I said, God, I ask you to forgive me for feeling this way. Lord, I forgive them for what they did. And I have gone to whoever I felt like that if I've ever hurt, to go and ask their forgiveness. But the reason why I bring this up is because for those two situations, yeah, when I said I forgive them, it was the beginning, but it wasn't like everything's rosy, because I had to work through it, and that took a while. I mean, it took a long time. And so It was a journey. And I can say today, I think I'm good. I really do. I think I'm good in those two situations. But I'm going to say it took years. It took years to fully work through it all. I don't know what else to say about it. I'd love to say that in really, really bad things that people have done, and I know some of you have had that happen to you, that it would just be gone, and maybe it will, because God is awesome. But God might want you to go on a journey. But if you can ask that forgiveness, and if you can forgive in your spirit, then you're on your way. You're on your way, and then you can move forward. You can at least take some steps forward, okay? Yeah, and that's the good news. There's a way out. We got to forgive one another because that's where your freedom lies. You're going to be free. That's the only way to be free in your spirit, okay? And to have a healthy spirit. It's just waiting to be born. Now, I'm going to have the worship team come on up, if you would. And I want to talk about something that is difficult for me to talk about, but I feel like that I'm supposed to do it. So here goes. I did it once this morning already, so maybe it won't be quite as difficult as it was the first time. I've had a very rough week, and so did a lot of other people. Because back when I was in high school and all the way through high school until I was the age of 21, I had this group of friends. You may have this big group of friends when you were in school and then after. There's probably 30 of these guys that we all hung out together. Now, I had a band, so there's all those guys and then people who hung out with us. And a lot of it was those other guys. We played basketball all the time. We played sports just all the time. And a lot of the time, I didn't have a car, so I was driven all over the place a lot of the time. And so one of these friends, I hadn't seen him in a while. And a lot of those guys I have not seen in a long time. I had to leave those friends. You might have heard me give that in my testimony. I had to leave those friends, and because we were all into drugs and heavy alcohol pretty much every day. And I just want to say about all these guys, they were nice guys. All these guys I hung out with back then, it's not like they were heading for prison or anything in terms of them being good people. They just kind of got caught up in the same thing I did. And you'd like them. You'd like all those guys. Well, last Saturday night, a very good friend of mine took his life. And it's probably hit me like no other death has ever hit me for a variety of reasons. Like I said, I had to leave all those friends, and I could not hang out with them anymore, because if I did, I'd go back. I knew I would. I actually tried it. It didn't work. Well, this person had come to visit Teresa and I a few times, and great guy. But through this week of all the emotion, and if you have been through that, where you're struggling to come to grips with what has happened, what could I have done? Yeah, you feel like I could have done something. I could have talked to him. I could have, you just feel helpless. You know, I'm a pastor, okay, but I'm just like you. I don't know. I felt like I could have done something. I got nothing. He's gone. I got to leave it up to God. And I'm thankful that God is love. So I leave it in His hands. I don't know. There's nothing else I can do. The reason I bring this up when I'm talking about this is because I began to think of my friends that I hadn't seen in years. And I began to get in touch with them, and they got in touch with me. And began to tell each other stuff that I'd never tell guys. I love you. I'm sorry, I'm so broken up about this, but I'm a lot better than I was a few days ago. Nothing I can do to bring my friend back. But I'm going there next Saturday to the service, and I'll see a lot of old friends. And if you're holding anything against anybody, man, let it go. You always hear people say, time is short. Well, it is. It just is. Man, we don't have today. We don't. And yeah, a few days from now, I'll get back to life. And you know, these are seasons that you go through and you realize things. I know that. I recognize that. But man, while I'm here in this place, I want to encourage you guys, make it right with people. It's just not worth it. It just isn't. If you haven't talked to somebody in a long time, talk to them. I'm talking to friends. I am telling you, I haven't seen some of these guys in 30 years. And they're telling me, I love you. Well, I used to hang with them for 7 years. I know them, and they know me. I left them. I left them because I had to. Well, I'm trying to make it right with them. So I just want to encourage you today. Make it right with people. It really isn't worth it at all. At all. Now, I'd like the people that are going to pray with other people that you've been asked beforehand to come forward, I'd like you to come forward and come up to the front, if you would. And we're going to have a time of prayer. And if you just, like, really pray for anything, that's fine. But especially if you want to ask some forgiveness and you want somebody just to pray with you, or maybe you've just been holding on to something that you just need to give, let it go. You need to let it go. And maybe it's just a lot of little things that have added up, and it's like not one thing, but it's like, wow, I've got it. This doesn't feel right. I got things I need to let go of. Well, we want to pray with you today. And God is big. He's really big. He can handle anything you got, really. So as the worship team plays this song, I'd like you to come down, and if you want to pray with somebody, have them agree with you and just pray an encouraging prayer with you, we want to do that, okay? So let's all stand up.